Hello?
Anna?
Hey, Katie.
Hey, I'm here in the studio with Chester.
Hey, Anna.
Hey, Chester.
It's time. It's time to do the big reveal.
Cool.
So a couple of weeks ago, actually it was a few months ago at this point, you and I talked about what was going to be happening during your maternity leave, and we talked about all the episodes that we recorded, and we also hinted at the idea of doing some guest-hosted episodes, but we kind of left it at that point.
And now we get to tell everyone what we've been doing.
We asked four former Deaf, Sex, and Money guests to come back and host an episode.
How's it been going?
It's been going great. So over the next few weeks, we're going to hear from Sonia Manzano, a.k.a. Maria from Sesame Street. We're going to hear from comedian Chris Gethard. We're also talking to Ellen Burstyn, who was just in the last season of House of Cards.
I am so glad Ellen Burstyn is back on our show.
Yeah, and we didn't just ask celebrity guests to come back and guest host. We also reached out to Diane Gilmorris. Everyone met her last year when we had her on to talk about life with her sons. She has two sons with autism. She lives in North Carolina. So we asked her to come back. And so each of these guests, all four of them, they picked a person that they wanted to learn more about and interviewed them.
Which one comes out first?
First up is Sonia Manzano, who I believe we first interviewed just about a year ago.
Yeah, it was just after she'd retired from Sesame Street after 40 years. And I really loved hearing from her about what it was like to grow up Puerto Rican in the Bronx, and then how she felt when she all of a sudden was at Carnegie Mellon in school, and it felt like a completely different world.
I was around a lot of white people for the first time. It was like being on Planet X. It was so foreign to me.
So when we asked Sonia to come back and be a part of this guest-hosted series, we asked her, you know, who would you like to interview? And she responded that she would like to sit down with the one and only Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
So you got Sonia and Sonia together in the studio?
Sonia and Sonia. They're actually both involved with a couple of charities in the Bronx. And the justice talked about what her life was like growing up in the Bronx. She also grew up there. And she talked about what her first day was like on the Supreme Court.
The first day that I was on the bench was for the now quite famed case, Citizens United. And my knees were knocking even then. Anyone presented with a new challenge has to always have that moment of insecurity, of not knowing whether they can do it. I live with that. I've lived with it my entire life.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you all got to do that.
Yeah, we also had a lot of fun with Chris Gethard. You know, he's been really busy ever since you talked to him a couple years ago.
Yeah, I feel like I see Chris Gethard's face everywhere. He shows up on Broad City, on Amy Schumer.
Are you excited for your Sex and the City tour today?
Yeah!
All right. When I say sex, you say and the city. Sex.
And the city!
Sex.
And the city!
You guys get it.
So wait, who did Chris decide to talk to?
Oh, Anna. I cannot wait for you to hear this guy. He's a comedian. His name is Tim Dillon, and he's pretty complicated.
I was a child actor. I started doing coke at 12. My mother's a schizophrenic. I was a closeted homosexual. I'm politically all over the map, though I lean conservative. I was in the mortgage industry. I idolize hucksters, thieves, cons, and cheats. My dream is to be a traveling salesman through America. And if comedy works, that's nice, too.
Sounds like there was a lot to explore there.
You really have no idea.
Yeah, meeting Tim was definitely an adventure, to say the least. Also, this summer, I got to fly down to North Carolina to work with one of our other guest hosts, Diane Gilmorris. She's the mother of two autistic boys who we heard about last year on the show. And, you know, it was really nice to meet her in person and get to talk with her face to face.
I've been thinking about Diane a lot this summer with all the conversation about Black Lives Matter and how to keep Black boys safe, in particular, as they're growing up. I remember her talking about her fears around that.
Kenny, now that he's, you know, he's 16, you know, he is very soon going to be a young Black man. He is. I mean, he's 5'7". He is a young Black man. And I am still trying to figure out how I make sure that he is safe in the world when I can't explain to him all of the all of the intricacies involved of what it means to be young and Black in America.
Just this summer, there have been a couple of stories about the sometimes violent intersection of autism and policing and race. I'm thinking about Arnaldo Soto, the autistic man in Miami whose caregiver Charles Kinsey was shot earlier this summer. So it felt like a really important time to talk about those fears that Diane has. And we found a couple of other parents who have had firsthand experience with the intersection of autism and policing. Diane talked to the woman named Maria Caldwell. She lives in St. Paul, Minnesota. And her son, Marcus, is 18 years old. He's autistic and he's Black. And last summer, he was confronted by some police after trespassing onto some light rail tracks downtown in St. Paul. And during that confrontation, was pretty severely beat up.
He had a busted head, busted lip. He had choke marks on his neck. He was beat up like he had got hit by the train and survived.
And Diane talked with another person, a police officer also in St. Paul. His name is Officer Robert Zink. He's a white guy. And he is also the dad to two autistic boys. And since this incident with Maria's son Marcus happened last summer, Officer Zink has reached out to her and to Marcus and is trying to repair the relationship between them and the police.
Once that trust has been lost, it takes a lot to get it back.
You know, we also have one more conversation we need to talk about. And I remember that when you talked to Ellen Burstyn a couple years ago, you were really, really excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and in the 2 years since, I have not stopped thinking about that episode and her talking about being a mother and talking about getting out of an abusive relationship.
You know, we actually still get messages today about Ellen's should-less days.
I have what I call should-less days. Today is a day where there's nothing I should do. So I only do what I want to do.
I cannot wait to have a should-less day. I haven't had one on maternity leave.
It's coming, Anna. It's coming.
Soon.
So who did Ellen talk to?
So Ellen sat down with Gloria Steinem.
Oh, cool. What did they talk about?
They talked about everything. Lori opened up to Ellen about a lot of different things, including the first and only time she got married in her 60s.
People suddenly started to say things to me like, at last you've met the love of your life, as if there were one love in our lives.
I'm so excited to hear all of these episodes because I haven't heard any of this tape that you've been collecting all summer long. And I just feel like it's so cool to get to hear the people who've been on the show in this new dimension where they're leading the conversation. So wait, when do they come out?
Well, you're not going to have to wait too long because we're going to put the first one out next week and we're going to have another conversation every week for the next month.
And in the meantime, if anyone out there listening wants to hear more from Ellen Burstyn about her should-less days, or if you want to learn about Diane's family, or maybe you want to hear a little bit about Chris Gethard's marriage or Sonia's life after Sesame Street, you can find all of their stories on our website at deathsexmoney.org, or, of course, you can also find them in iTunes.
Just don't forget to leave a review.
I'm reading them from Wyoming.
Okay, Anna, we'll let you get back to
Confusing my baby. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.